This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ed, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Colin. Thank you.
Morning,
yes.
Ed.
Morning.
Chris, you too.
Ed, you know, I saw this on the internet, and I feel this exact same way. I could buy a moral victory from last night if it wasn't for the tie against the Lions. I just 6-4 is much better than 5-4-1. I can't have a good taste about last night because of the tie against the Lions.
Yeah, that tie against the Lions is like the one a number of years ago. What was it? The Chicago. Cleveland, I can't
even Atlanta. Remember. I thought there was an Atlanta tie.
Well, there was Cleveland in the opener in 18,
Cleveland.
I remember.
Yeah, that one. That was terrible, too. You know, this is what we see when you take – they have four stars on defense, right? Four Pro Bowlers or slash All Pros. They took three of them out of the lineup. That's what happens. You know, you just can't lose great players like that and perform at a top level and – they did not last night on defense.
Yeah, I don't want to get away from last night's game, Ed, but do we know anything more about the future for Stephon Tuitt? Because you mentioned four guys. Obviously, Watt, Fitzpatrick, and Hayden being the three that were not playing last night. But we still don't know anything more about Stephon Tuitt, do we?
As they said in the movie on JFK, it's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Nobody seems to know. Nobody seems to know. There's nothing leaking out. You know, we know what happened with his brother, but that, you know, you would think that wouldn't linger into keeping him off the field this long. And then he had quote minor knee surgery. And they're not giving many updates on the injury.
Speaking of JFK, it's 58 years ago today, right, Ed? It's
November 22nd, 1963. Yes, sir.
There we go, Ed. A little history lesson from Ed Bouchette. Mm-hmm. Gives it all to you. Black and Gold Uncensored, brought to you by your local Nissan dealers. Okay, can you expect, though, the Pittsburgh Steelers, with all that defensive firepower to be out, to win that football game? I mean, as we wake up this morning, people say, I want a better defensive effort. Man, you got to blame it on the defense. But I look up and at times, the fellas by the name of, like, Akello Witherspoon, some guy named Archibong, some guy named Scott, and Carl Joseph are all on the field at the same time. So while I'm disappointed, it also comes down to injury.
Oh, well, that's what I said at the beginning. I mean, you take three of your best four players out, and Cam Hayward was just a monster. They were double-teaming him all night long, and he still came up with that big play in the fourth quarter. I can't blame that loss on anything, really. I mean, because the defense was a shell of itself. And Devin Bush is not the Devin Bush they drafted. You know, he's just a guy out there. He gets beat all the time. You know, that 10-yard touchdown, he was nowhere near the guy. I mean, he couldn't stay with the guy, and he was a running back. I mean, come on. That's why they got this guy. He was supposed to be Shazier-like in his quickness and speed and – maybe I guess that knee surgery, the ACL, just took that all away from them. They're going to have to look for inside linebackers.
Well, Ed, you weren't in the defensive huddle, and according to Devin Bush's father, Devin Bush Sr., there's no way we could possibly criticize him not being in the defensive huddle and knowing the calls. But I was equally disgusted with that effort on, I want to say it was Austin Eckler's second touchdown run, where Bush gets blocked. The guard comes to the second level, catches him, and he doesn't even fight to get off the block. He doesn't try to spin away out of it. Doesn't even throw an arm in Eckler's direction. Doesn't even seem to be aware that Eckler is running through the hole immediately to his right. Goes right by him. I mean, it was just, somehow Devin Bush got worse in last night's game.
Tell Senior, I wasn't in the huddle when Jack Lambert played, but I knew he was great.
Oh, my gosh. Ed throwing shade. I love it. I love it. That's the best line you may have ever had at any appearance on our show, Ed. I like it, and I really, really like it. You can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. The performances like that, and look, man, I got to give you credit again about this Ben coming back for next year. If he gets healthy, is this one Ben points to and goes, see, I could still do that if he stays healthy? He's on track to come back next year, isn't he?
It's going to be how he feels. I mean, first of all, would you want to come back if the offensive line is the same? You know, why come back and, you know, perform behind that line? Yeah, I know they didn't have to. They couldn't run late because they had to come back. So they're throwing the ball a lot, right? But, I mean, my God, they averaged 3.1 yards a carry. All that pretty much was in the first half. I mean, they when they wanted to run against the worst run defense in the league. And then at the end, when they really had time, the 2 minutes, that's plenty of time for Ben. You start on the 25-yard line, and he gets sacked twice in a row. That line, I'm singing an old tune that I've been singing all season. The line's terrible.
Well, let me ask you this, Ed. Maybe there's a reason there then for why I want to say we counted him up between last week and this week. I think there were 12 consecutive plays within the opponent's 5-yard line where they did not simply turn around and hand the ball off to Najee Harris. Is that based solely on the fact that they don't trust their O-line to run block, or is it Matt Canada trying to get too cute down near the goal line?
No, I think it's the former. I think they know their line can't do it. They found it out again last night, right? They tried to run it with Najee, and they couldn't. They tried to one of those end-arounds again, whatever you want to call it, jet sweep with Chase Claypool, and that couldn't get it done. You know, the only chance they have is to throw it. It's pathetic, really. I mean, the one time they did, I called it a trick play. From the 1-yard line, they put the fullback in, they ran the I formation, and Najee Harris dove up the middle. But you don't see that.
All right, you have a trained eye. You've been doing this a long time. You've covered a lot of different coordinators and coaches. Is Matt Canada doing a good job?
It's hard to tell with that line. It really is. I'm sorry. And then you take Juju out, and they had Chase Claypool out last week. And, you know, he's not working with a wealth of talent there. You know, he just isn't. You know, Freiermuth has helped them. We saw the veteran tight end Eric Ebron get involved a little bit last night, but you know, there's a reason Najee Harris, you know, everybody's praising him. And I believe it. He's a good back. He really is. But his average isn't very good behind that line.
All right. Well, does drafting him set? I don't want to put it like this, but I think there is a discussion. Was it the wrong move drafting Najee Harris if they're employing him and using him the way that they're using him?
No, they're still in the hunt. I mean, and he's the only chance they have. I mean, not the only chance, but at running back, he's the only chance they have. I don't know that, you know, reaching to draft a tackle in the first round who should go in the second round was something to do. You know, this is an old debate we've been having since the draft, but no, I thought they did the right thing.
Steelers insider Ed Bouchette with us here on the Fan Morning Show. So let me ask you this then, Ed, and I know there were injuries up front last night that led to Haig playing guard and things being moved around, but is the current personnel on this offensive line the kind that can improve to the point where it's at least serviceable, or do they have to already recognize that some of these guys just aren't it and cut bait, and do they need to go through another offensive line remodeling this offseason?
Yeah, they do. And I don't know how you do that. The two rookies you'd think are going to grow, right? Although, did you see the center getting pushed back into Ben?
I've seen that the last 12 quarters that's happened, Ed.
I know. It happened at training camp by his own teammates, I saw. It looked like he was doing the moonwalk. You know, it just, he's got to get stronger. He needs an off season to get stronger. He's big enough, but he needs to get stronger. He can't get pushed back into the center or into the quarterback and his running back like that. He'll never get any yards.
Okay, so they've got a center and a left guard. Do they have either one of their tackles or another guard? Or, again, are we talking about going all in on offensive line, even though, as you pointed out, you don't want to be the team that's drafting guys for need in the first round that should be second and third round picks?
I'm not smart enough to know how to do it. You have a free agency, and they have a little money going into next year. Centers and guards don't cost that much. Tackles do. You might have to pick up one or two, you know, and supplement. I'm assuming they're going to stay with the rookies. They seem bound and determined to do that because they have their $9.5 million tackle on the bench, although he appeared a little bit last night. But Zach Banner can't get in this lineup, and I don't get it. It's baffling.
Before we let you go, are you hearing any news either on Watt or Hayden or Minka in terms of a timeline?
Well, Minka you won't hear because it's protocol, you know. That meant when he got that midfoot injury can be tough on Joe Hayden. And hip and knee is a deadly combination for a pass rusher, right? So, no, I've heard nothing, but I don't know that you'll see all of them back this week. And, you know, that's an important game. You got to go to Cincinnati.
Can they win a game, Ed, without all three of those guys plus Cam Hayward in the lineup?
They almost won one last night.
Almost, though. They didn't because they didn't have those guys in the lineup.
Yeah, but yes, they can, but I don't like their chances over the next, you know, part of the season without them, but I don't think I don't know that it's going to be long term. Certainly for Minka, it won't be. But they need, you know, they already lost 2/3 of their starting defensive line. Now you throw these three guys in, you're playing with half your defense.
There you go. Ed, turkey, right? Is it better whenever you have, like, the proper Thanksgiving dinner, or is Ed a big turkey, leftover sandwich turkey guy? What's better?
Both. Okay. Yeah, I like both. We always have Thanksgiving on Friday anyway, not Thursday, because kids got to go elsewhere. They got in-laws and everything else, so we always just set aside the Friday.
So Friday's your big day. Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
I remember that used to be.
Black Friday is Thanksgiving here.
It used to be Backyard Brawl Day, too.
Yeah.
There used to be a bunch of different games on. Red River Rivalry. Yes. All that kind of stuff. Right, Ed?
No more.
No more.
They've all been splintered.
Tradition's dead.
They've all been splintered. All right, Ed. Appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving week. We'll talk soon.
All right, fellas. See you next week.
See you next week.
See
you,
Ed. Senior.
Yes.
I wasn't in the huddle with Jack Lambert.
No.
But I could tell he was great.
Jeez, Ed. Firing darts.
Morning show.
So about 9.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter last night. Chargers are up 27-20. They're trying to drive to go up by 2 touchdowns. And Justin Herbert on 3rd and 5 from the Steelers 47 takes off, starts running. And keeps running, and keeps running, and keeps running until Cam Hayward catches him from behind at the 11-yard line. 36 yards on the ground for Herbert on that play, more than 1/3 of his total rushing yardage on the night in just that one play. And afterwards, there's a weird moment where it looked like Cam Hayward, who wouldn't get off of Justin Herbert or was trapped on top of Justin Herbert, looked like he threw a punch right to Justin Herbert's chest as Herbert was laying on the ground prone, kind of curled up in the fetal position. He attempted to explain after the game.
Man, to be honest, I was running after the ball, and I caught my hand under. And so when I was trying to get up, I couldn't get up, and I fell back on him. I know it looks terrible. There was nothing malicious behind it. I don't think I was trying to punch him, but I know it looks more worse than it is in slow motion. But I'm sorry if I did anything to offend anybody. You know, I wish I had said more to Justin after, but there was nothing behind it.
At the time, it really looked like he was trying to punch him in the chest. Cam straight up. I'll buy Cam's excuse.
Yeah, if they didn't eject him, then I'll buy his his line of thinking here, because if he had thrown a punch like that, he probably would have been ejected, or more so than flagged. I think he would have been ejected had he thrown a punch. So by virtue of that, I think I have to believe him in this case.
Well, he still threw. I mean, it wasn't throwing like a big haymaker. It looked like a little jab to the chest of Herbert, right? But so whatever. It was funny to listen to Cam's explanation afterwards, because he was almost apologetic. Like, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to. Well, it's okay. You tackled the quarterback, and you're allowed to get rough with the quarterback just a little bit.
I'll tell you, it's got to be tough being him, to stay healthy, to be that guy out there, and to be the one guy that everybody counts on, and to continue to play at an insanely high level, and then to see a lot of people around you who are either, one, not playing up to their potential, or two, just guys that are down the liners and just aren't as good as you. It's got to be tough to be Cam Hayward, to be continue to always be that good soldier. And, you know, I applaud him. I mean, he's just a bad man.
He left it all out there
last night. He does every single day. Every single game he does. But it's got to be difficult, because he's either exponentially better than those other guys out there, or just giving a better effort than those other guys out there.
Maybe both. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes from now, hear Ben Roethlisberger's entire postgame comments. 15 minutes from now, would you rather have this one thing that the Chargers have that we don't have with the Steelers? And coming up next, there was a philosophy that we talked about a lot in the offseason that could work for the Steelers moving forward, short-term and long-term. But did we see a little bit of a hole punched in that theory last night or not against the Chargers? Talk about it next on the Fan Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
One of the things that went right, we talked about it just a moment ago, Cam Hayward leading to big plays like this.
Lifts that right leg, gets the snap. He's back to pass, looks, fires, pass batted high in the air. It's going to be intercepted. It's picked off by the Steelers down at the 10-yard line. The ball got batted up in the air by Cameron Hayward, and Sutton picked it off.
Westwood won on the call on Sunday Night Football last night here on 93.7 The Fan. And when you see the defense give up that many points, you're led to believe terrible game, awful, and it certainly was not good. But they did come up with a couple of key plays. That Cam Hayward batted ball, Cam Sutton interception, one of them. And one of the theories we had about this team coming into the season, Colin, and remember when we were talking about a T.J. Watt extension and drafting Najee Harris in the first round and perhaps Ben's final year, was, okay, this is a franchise, an organization, moving towards a philosophy of you're going to have to win with defense and a running game because you don't know what your quarterback situation is going to be going forward. I don't know if last night's game, I know there were injuries on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive line for that matter. I don't know if that perhaps punched a few holes in that theory that you got to have a quarterback.
Well, I thought the quarterback played pretty well after one missed throw early on, but it's hard. It's totally impossible to get a barometer on that whole plan whenever you don't have three of your best players on defense. So I don't think you can get a gauge on it. If you're trying to win with running the football on offense and defense, stopping people on defense, how you can get an accurate barometer if you're not actually four of those guys. If you're not playing with Tuitt, if you're not playing with Watt, if you're not playing with Fitzpatrick, and if you're not playing with Hayden, I don't know how you can use last night as any sort of sample size.
Well, and I understand. Again, we referenced all the injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but I saw what Justin Herbert was doing. And to your point, as you mentioned with Ben, after the first half, really, fourth quarter especially when he got dialed in, that it just – I didn't see that happening with any other quarterback on either side. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, not really, because he was throwing the football against Akello Witherspoon.
Okay. So we're not putting any value in what Justin Herbert did last night, less value?
What are you saying here? Like, I'm putting a lot of value in what he did.
Okay.
But he's also doing it against guys that shouldn't be on an NFL roster. I guess I'm failing to understand your point. You're saying, are the Steelers...
My point is, last night's game showed you how important quarterback play is. And I've long been of the belief that you can win, that this organization has to be built for
right,
the next
the
few years.
The quarterback also played against a JV team. Like, I understand how important quarterback play is. I don't think it's an accurate barometer on what the Steelers want to do defensively. I also don't think it's an accurate barometer on what the Chargers quarterback really is. I think he's very good, but he was throwing the football over Pierre's head and Witherspoon's head and making Carl Joseph make decisions in the middle.
Yes.
That's a little bit different than with Minkah Fitzpatrick out there. So, as with anything, he should be applauded. He was the best player on the football field last night. His ability to run and do things, I think, is spectacular. I think he's better than Josh Allen. But does Minkah change that game? Maybe. Does TJ Watt change that game? Maybe. I think Herbert should absolutely be applauded this morning, but I don't think those numbers are the same if the Steelers' personnel is the Steelers' personnel.
And I don't think that can be argued. And it's not just Herbert's effort that I'm talking about either. It's been the way he played in the fourth quarter, right? Like Rudolph and Haskins, as we talked about earlier, they're not doing that. They're just not. They're not capable of doing what Ben did. I know people are going to say short fields, all that. But they're not capable of making some of those throws. Some of those throws to Deontay Johnson in particular, right? So what it – and again, I'm a believer in you can win long-term with defense and running game. You can build an organization around T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Najee Harris on the other side, right? But it made me take a step back, and it reminded me – and this is the point I was trying to make – it reminded me of the importance of having a quarterback who can make plays. If the Steelers really believe they're going to go into next year, let's say Ben Roethlisberger doesn't come back, okay? And they don't draft anybody because Mike Tomlin doesn't want to deal with a rookie quarterback. If they really believe they're going to go into next year with Mason Rudolph and or Dwayne Haskins as the guys, or even a veteran stopgap like some of the names we threw around last week.
Right.
You're not even coming back to take the lead and make last night's game competitive, let alone winning games like that.
No, it's still built on a throwing quarterback and a guy that can make plays. I thought Ben Roethlisberger was really good, but that's what Ben Roethlisberger is right now, I think. He's a guy that can be really good in small spans.
In small bursts,
or
yeah.
Play two or three really good games and then be bad or just okay or mediocre for five games. Then play one or two really good games. He's not going to have the body of work of a full season. We saw it last year. He was very good for 11 games, and then he fell off. Like, we're never going to get a 17-game span where Ben Roethlisberger is good. Now, if Herbert played against a real defense, can he do that for even one game? Maybe, but like last night, I never thought I'd say this walking into last night's game. If the Steelers are healthy on defense, they probably won that game last night.
They might have.
They would have won that game last night if they had two of those three injured defensive players. If Hayden, Fitzpatrick, and Watt, if two of those three guys play, I never thought I'd say this thinking before the game, but I think they would have won that game. Well, because here's why. He was able to – they were showing shots of him running, mm-hmm. and there was no one else on television screen. None.
It's just him and green turf.
I think that Fitzpatrick, albeit with running the risk of getting the ball thrown over his head, he would have spied him in some regard. They had no choice. Who were they going to do it with? Spillane? Were they going to bring somebody up in the box, Carl Joseph, and do that? That took not to make Keith Butler this mastermind, because Keith Butler's defenses lead the NFL, not this year, but in history, of having a man wearing a 90-something running with a man wearing an 80-something, which is ridiculous. But I think he would have devised a scheme, at the very least, he and Mike Tomlin, to spy Herbert a little bit, or at least limit his run and make him beat him with his arm a little bit more. He beat them with his legs, I thought. Even though it was just 90 yards, he made a bunch of key first downs.
I mean, the 36-yarder we just talked about that Hayward caught him from behind.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's no doubt no doubt in my mind that it's a completely different game if Watt, Fitzpatrick, and Hayden are all healthy. That part can't be argued. Do they end up stealing victory? Maybe. Maybe they do. But there's one guy who is out there, and we're led to believe is healthy by virtue of the fact that he's out there, who still is somehow not getting better, but somehow getting worse. We talk about him in the 8 o'clock hour. And also on the other side of the ball, why did you draft this one guy in particular if you're not going to use him in this one situation in particular? That at 8:30. Ben's full postgame comments coming up at 8 o'clock. And coming up next, do the Chargers have us beat in one thing specifically other than the scoreboard?
Herbert's foot. You gotta go for it.
Herbert's going to go up under center. Herbert takes the snap, hands it off. Eckler hit in the backfield. I don't think he got it. Eckler is stood up. He is short, and the Steelers take over.
Listen to the crowd there in that clip. It sounds crazy. Like Heinz Field. SoFi Stadium last night on Westwood One. Chargers ended up winning, but that was the moment where you know, oh my God, they're going to somehow pull this off, aren't they? They stopped the Chargers on fourth down there and then drive down to get a Boswell field goal a few minutes later. A couple of big plays in the fourth quarter and a lot of points in the fourth quarter, but it sounded like Heinz Field. Multiple points last. Justin Herbert had to go silent count. So it was all the usual things you expect out of a traveling Steelers crowd, Heinz Field West and all that. But the stadium itself, that's like that place is like a football palace. That, the Allegiant Stadium out in Vegas where the Raiders play now, these places are pretty. Like they look like, yeah, palace is it's a football palace.
Yeah, I had some friends out there, and they were texting me during the game, and I had a bunch of them out there. And one of my friends said, "I said, what's it all about? Like, what's this place?" And he said, "It is the anti-Heinz Field in every regard." And I said, "What?" He said, "You feel like you're at an NBA arena, and there happens to be a football game going on." He said, "It's so clean, it's so fresh, it's so nice." He said that from the restrooms to the seating areas, he said there are two in the upper level. There are two layers, two levels of private boxes, kind of like
right.
So there's so much private, luxury suite kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he said, you know what? After thinking about this, and we went back and forth on text, he said, maybe this old, dark, dank, historical Rust Belt feel of a stadium is cool, but is also sort of played out in Pittsburgh. And if we were to do it all over again to build, now it's too late. This stadium's old now. If you're going to build another one, whenever that comes to pass,
yeah,
that it state of the art beats that whole like I'm going into a football field.
But like Heinz Field isn't even supposed to feel like dank and dark and dreary.
But it does,
you know, right? As compared to places like SoFi Stadium and Allegiant
right.
Stadium, definitely. Like Three Rivers. I embraced the fact that it could be 85 and sunny out, and you'd walk in there and it would feel like it was dark and cloudy and dreary if it were a football Sunday, because that was just the atmosphere of the place, especially when the Steelers were playing. Like, Heinz Field isn't supposed to have that same feeling. And, yeah, it would be kind of nice to have one of those football palaces.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe that – and I wonder, too, like, you take a place like Heinz Field that you're right, it's supposed to feel – state of the art and night, but it really does it. It feels like a dressed up Three Rivers.
It's utilitarian.
Right. It's industrial, but it feels industrial nice. It doesn't feel, it feels like a guy that is an iron worker that goes to a wedding and puts on the one suit he has. is what Heinz Field feels to me. It doesn't feel like state of the art. Anyhow, you wonder too what people who are younger than us, who is now the sweet spot of going to Steeler games,
right.
Homes. If they appreciate that, I think they appreciate more a place like SoFi.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're like, here's the wireless. Here's the gambling kiosk. If those will be coming in. Here's this. That
the
and
suites it, down at the ground
yes.
level, ringing around the sideline in the end zones. Yeah. Like, I mean, Jerry Jones Stadium, AT&T Stadium is not that new. I mean, is it what, maybe 10 years old already? And it's got all that. It sort of laid the groundwork for that.
I mean, it looks like the field is below the ground level. Like it looks, it's like it gives the impression that it is, you're at a movie and it looks so clean.
Looks like a spaceship.
Yeah, right. You're right about that. And it wowed me on television. And I was texting with my friends who were there. They're like, you can't even imagine in person what this is like. Now, it's new. It's also Los Angeles, right. So they'll make it dirty at some point. But they'll try to really keep it clean and keep it fresh and keep it nice. And you know that it'll get every upgrade every year that is the newest thing.
Or is there like a level of pride in, I'm a Steelers fan, I don't need all that crap. All I want to do is go sit there and watch my game.
See, I think that's past.
I think so too.
Cool with people our age, but I think younger than us, they would rather have the new stuff. We don't have mills anymore. Like, we have hospitals.
Well, because this is the kind of thing that loops back onto the conversation we have all the time about declining attendance around the NFL, even here in Pittsburgh, is I want some of the comforts of home, right? Like, you go to a place like SoFi, and you might as well be sitting in your living room in some of those seats. You go to Heinz Field, you're never going to be as comfortable there as you are at home.
You know, that's a great call. That's and Heinz Field isn't Lambeau. Like, there's no nostalgia where you need to keep it.
Right. You can't look down on the field and be like, oh, that's where Franco Harris caught the immaculate reception.
Right, right. These guys that were texting me, they're hard to please in this regard, too. They've been everywhere. They were blown away by the stadium. They were blown away by how many Steeler fans were there. But then the conversation quickly turned to, this is like walking into a space. They said, the one guy texted me said, it's like a Disney ride. It's like I'm at a Disney ride, but I'm going to a football game. It is bonkers. It's so cool here. And they're hard to play. They've been everywhere. Everywhere.
And like you said, there's not the same tradition. I mean, at Heinz Field, you can look down and be like, look, guys, that's where the cart stalled out, and they had to drag Mason off the field without his face mask.
Right.
But there's not a lot else there to point at down on the turf. It is the Fan Morning Show, presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Ben Roethlisberger's full post-game comments on the way in about 5 minutes from now. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. It's driven by Jim Shorkey Kia in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit him online, ShorkeyKia.com. And at 8:30, why did you draft this guy if you're not going to use him 12 consecutive times in one situation that screams for using this guy? And at 8:45, what the hell do we do with Devin Bush at this point? He somehow got worse last night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.